Good to see you tonight. Are you blessed? God's a good God. Hallelujah. Somebody have a word of praise, a word of testimony. I have something prepared tonight, but I like sometimes to ask if you have a topic of discussion, question, comment, topic of discussion. If you have a word of testimony, word of praise, say something good about Jesus. I'm hearing a lot of praise the Lord. He is good.
Brother Tony, if you could, I don't know which way you're going tonight, but can you elaborate a little bit on why people don't keep their healing?
Why people don't keep their healing? That's a good question. Good topic. Some of you have heard me tell this before. This is a personal experience. I was on the way to a church to preach one, I think it was a Sunday night. And I wasn't driving, I was riding, and the church was about an hour away. And so we were driving in the car, riding in the car, I was riding in the car, and about halfway there, my heart started to hurt. And somehow I knew, I can't really explain, it's just an inward knowing. It's hard to describe that or explain that. You just experience it and you grow, you know, and spiritual things occur, and it's hard to put, you know, in words that explain it. But I just knew, an inward knowing, that's not my heart. And then I thought of the scripture, you know, somebody might ask, because I'm a stickler for the word. Our experiences should line up with the word, or we ought to just throw them away. And our believing and our praying and should line up with the word. Things that we do. A lot of things that are done in churches isn't even in the Bible. It's not scriptural. It ought to be in line with the word. I thought, well, what scripture is that in line with? And then I thought, well, Jesus was easily touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Well, if he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities, why couldn't we be touched with the feeling of somebody else's? It doesn't happen very often. It hadn't happened in my ministry very often. But somehow I knew that's somebody else's heart. And I'm to intercede for them, pray for them, intercede for them. And so I said it under my breath to the Lord. I said, well, at first I didn't pray this way. First I was wondering and considering what this is. Well, it was, my heart began to hurt, and it would throb with pain, and then it would subside a little bit. And then it would, a shooting pain, and I'd even moan out loud. You know, anybody in the car there would hear me groaning and moaning, and I'd try to be quiet because I'm, you know, and they're letting me pray and not talking and chatting. I like that. Before a service, you know, you want to be listening to the Lord, not chatting about just things in life. And so they're letting me pray, but I'd moan and groan every once in a while. And then it would subside, and I'd have some relief, and I'm praying, Lord, what is this? And it would come back and throb. It would increase in intensity. Then it would subside. Then it would throb. Then it would subside. Shooting pain. Just all of a sudden, you didn't expect it. Just a shooting pain. Oh! And I'd put my hand to my heart. It felt like my heart, but somehow I knew that's not my heart. Nothing wrong with my heart. But the Lord's using me to pray for somebody else. Well, it built in intensity the closer we got to the church. It was more pain. It was more pressure. It was more intensity. It would subside a little bit. Then it would come back with more pain than before the closer we got to the church. When we drove onto the church property, and I don't remember exactly right now when we drove onto the property or I opened the door and my foot. But when we got to the church, it stopped instantly. Now, by that time, it was hurting pretty bad. But it stopped instantly, like you'd snap your finger. It would stop instantly when we got to the church. Well, I said to the Lord, Lord, you're going to heal somebody of a heart condition tonight, aren't you? Now, I wish he'd do this every service. I just wish he would. But it doesn't operate according to I will. It operates as he wills. Amen. Have you been there, Pastor? You know, sometimes you pray more than usual. And you're just trying to get God to do something spectacular, and it seems like nothing happens. Then you go to another church or another service, and you didn't really have time to pray or take time to pray, and you're rushed and hurried, and then God shows off. And so I think he lets you know it's not you. It's not you doing it. Now, we should pray, and we should prepare. But these manifestations of the Spirit operate as he wills. Well, Lord, you're going to heal somebody of a heart condition. And so I really changed my message. I had something else prepared, but I preached on faith and healing. And it's a small church, a small gathering, but I'd been there that Sunday morning, and so Sunday night, some visitors had come. People liked the service that morning, and they had talked about it, and some visitors had come for the Sunday night. And so we had a little bit, we had a few more people. And I was there the following Sunday, and even more people had come. But I preached on faith and healing. Then at the end of the service, I said, now somebody's here. And I didn't have a word of knowledge. Sometimes you do. Like this morning, Pastor had the word of knowledge. He knew some people were here for healing and certain and various conditions. But I didn't have that by the word of knowledge. Revelation, it was by my experience. Somebody here has a bad heart. And the Lord's going to heal you. You're going to be healed tonight. Now, I don't know this, but I believe that you've had a heart condition for a number of years. Maybe you had a heart attack years ago and a number of years. Who are you? Who are you? Well, lady in the back raised her hand and said, come up, come forward. Come up here. Well, she came to the front and asked her to tell me she had had a heart attack 16 years ago. She'd had a bad heart, was on medication, and couldn't do anything strenuous. She couldn't overexert herself or she'd have, it would increase. She's taking medication, so it would stay at bay, but it still gave her, you know, pain and discomfort. And heart attack 16 years ago, and the doctor said she had a bad heart. Well, I said, the Lord's going to heal you whether you believe it or not. Now, that just sort of came out of my spirit, but sometimes the gifts of the Spirit operate that way. It did in Jesus' ministry. I mean, the man at the gate, at the pool of Bethesda, John chapter 5, the pool of Bethesda, the man at the pool of Bethesda, help me, Mary. No, I'm asking the wrong one. Jack, help me. The pool of, see, he got it. At the pool of Bethesda, that man didn't even know it was Jesus. So it wasn't his faith. It was a move of the Spirit, a gift of the Spirit. He didn't even know it was Jesus. And Jesus healed him and then left. Sometimes it does operate that way. I said, you're going to be healed whether you believe it or not. But you believe it, don't you? And she said, I sure do. Well, I started to lay my hand on her like I would ordinarily. And I had a prompting on the inside. Don't pray for her. Don't lay your hands upon her. Tell her to run. So I took my hand away and said, see those double doors, just like in this church, similar. She turned, see those double doors at the back? Go run and touch. Run! And touch those double doors in the name of Jesus and run back here. She took off. She didn't stammer. She didn't stutter. She didn't hesitate. She didn't pause. She just took off. And then she came back up here. And I had a prompting to tell her to do it again. Go ahead and do it again. In the name of Jesus. Run. She ran a second time. Ran back up to the front. And then I said, do it again. Do it a third time. Go run. Touch those doors. Run back up here. One for the Father. One for the Son. One for the Holy Ghost. Of course, we know they're all three in one. But she did it three times. So three times she ran to the back, ran to the front, ran to the back, ran to the front, ran to the back, ran to the front. She did that three times. And so at the end she, how are you? So I gave her the microphone, how are you? And she said, there's no pain. I'm not even out of breath. And she said, if I did that before, I couldn't even, I said, could you do that before? No, I couldn't even walk fast. Or my heart would start to, give me trouble. I'd feel it. Couldn't even walk fast. Oh, I couldn't do that. I'm not even out of breath. I feel great. Everything's great. So she's healed, and then I had some other ministry that night, and the waters are stirred, and now people are wanting to get in those moving waters. So we had a wonderful service that night. Well, the next Sunday morning, the people had heard some things, and they had come, and so there were even more people, and she was there, and I had her give the testimony. But here's something that I want you to hear, because Pastor asked, talk a little bit about how to receive and keep your healing. Why do people lose their healing? How do you keep your healing? Why do people lose their healing? That was the Sunday night. The following night, the next night, Monday night, around midnight, my heart started to hurt. And somehow on the inside, I knew that wasn't my heart. But it hadn't happened very often in my life, in my ministry, in my walk with Christ. So, Lord, what is that? And I just had, not words, you're not hearing a conversation like you'd have with another person, but I'm hearing the Spirit of God on the inside of me say this. That is trying to come back on her. I want you to stand in the gap. That's Old Testament, isn't it? That's Bible. Stand in the gap, make up the hedge for someone else. That's trying to come back on her. I want you to pray that she'll keep her healing. So just as if it was me standing, because the sickness, the disease, the devil will try to come back. Not every time, but on occasion. He'll try to come back. And that's trying to come back on her. So you, just like it was my heart. I'm saying, no, you don't. Out loud some, under my breath, no, you don't. You go from me. The Lord's healed me. You're not coming back on me, but I do it for her. And then I'd pray in English, and then I'd pray in tongues. A lot of people don't know much about speaking in tongues. Some denominations fight it. Some are afraid of it. Some are a little nervous about it because they don't understand it. And the one reason that the devil fights it so much is because he knows that it's powerful.
That's right. Hallelujah.
In my past, I fought it, but I thank God for it today because it's powerful. So I would speak in tongues. And praying in tongues. Praying in tongues when you don't know what the will of God is and you don't know how to pray as maybe you ought to know. The Holy Ghost knows and He will pray with you and help you and give you utterance and you make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 26, verse 27. And so I'm interceding for her, praying and making intercession for her according to the will of God. The will of God is for her healing, but I'm praying in tongues as well as in English. Well, it would leave. It would subside. That pain would go. And okay, I've got it. Think I got it. Sometimes sickness will try to come back and you can stand against it and it leaves. And okay, I got it. I got it. And then it comes back again. And you have to stand again. So it came back again. No, you don't. No, you don't. You go. It'd leave and be gone for an hour. Well, I'm up that night and I dealt with it all night long. And I'm praying in tongues sometimes for an hour more at a time. And dealing with it, talking to it. I mean, it feels just like my heart. I mean, it feels just like it's my heart. 6 o'clock in the morning it left, around 6. Now it started, what time did I say? About midnight. And then it left about 6 in the morning. And it never came back. That was it. Well, that's Monday night. Now the following Sunday morning, I'm in that church again. She's there. I know something about her. And so before I preached, I had her come up and give her testimony. What happened to you last Sunday night? She had had a heart attack 16 years ago. Now she's, and the doctor told her she had a bad heart. She took medicine every day she took medicine. Well, give you testimony. What did the Lord do for you? How has your week been? And she said, I've had a great week, a wonderful week. The Lord healed me last Sunday. She told the story. She said, I've not had any medicine. I've not needed it. Hadn't had any pain, any pressure, any intensity. Hadn't had any medicine. Hadn't needed any medicine. My daughter invited me to go with her to the mountains. And so they drove up to the mountains and they went hiking. She said, I hadn't done that. It felt like being a little girl again. Well, she'd left all of that out about Monday night. She said she hadn't had any pain, hadn't had any symptoms, hadn't taken any medicine, hadn't needed any. That's how she put it. I hadn't had any medicine. I hadn't needed any. She left all of that out. But I've got a knowing. Now, sometimes you have a knowing, and the people sometimes don't cooperate. And you might begin to doubt or wonder. Sometimes pastor will say, somebody here, who is it? Who is it? And nobody responds. Because people are shy sometimes. Nobody responds. After the service, somebody might come up and say, that was me. I remember, let me interject this real quick. I was in Jamaica preaching, then the revelation gifts began to operate. Wish they would every service, but God, you know. And then sometimes it's the people and their faith and their expectancy. That's why we ought to come to church expecting something. Because it draws out of the minister. It's still under the hands of God and it operates as God wills, but God responds to our faith. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, if God's not moving, I move God. Because God will respond to faith. He will. And so in Jamaica, they were excited about the services and been praying for the services. And I give them some of the credit there. Of course, I had been praying and preparing. And then I'm in this place where I'm doing a little bit of a different work than just a teaching ministry per se or a pastoral ministry per se. But the word of knowledge began to operate. And I knew things. William Branham, do you know the name William Branham? I know sometimes people criticize some aspects of his ministry. But he knew the revelation gifts. God used him. I've seen videos of him where I've heard stories where it was accurate, it was genuine, where he would know people, their name, where they were from. He would even on occasion, not every service, the gifts of the Spirit won't operate every service the same way. If you see any minister and he does the same thing the same way every time you see him, you ought to be cautious. You ought to just right now be cautious. But on occasion, he'd even give them their phone number. Just have it by revelation. Know their name. I've seen videos and I've talked to people who had been in his ministry. I was never in any of his meetings. When did he die? I could have been. I think he died in the 60s, but I just wasn't. I was never there. So I could have been. I'm not that old, Jack. I know I look it. Don't look at my hair. I've had some stress in my life. But I've talked to people that were in his meetings and they would see the operation of the Holy Ghost. And the word of knowledge, where he would know their name, he would know where they were from, the city, and it would come in bits and pieces. It would come progressively, and then and your telephone number is, your address is, you live on such and such a street, and God, if God can show me that, then God can show me this. And he would talk about their sickness. He would talk about what's in their lives. He would talk about the condition, what they've been dealing with, and God says you're healed right now. And if you'll believe me, you can receive from God. And God, do it again. That you would be glorified and the people blessed and the people know. And believe. Well, in Jamaica, some similar things were operating. I could tell sometimes people what condition they had and how they got it. One person, I saw them falling off their back porch. And they'd had a leg condition all these years. And I just saw that. And I told them, stand up. I didn't even pray, lay hands or pray. Didn't even call them for prayer. Just stand up. The Lord shows me. And I pointed. And so the Lord says, you're healed. Now act on it. Move that leg. Move that leg. And then I said, somebody is being healed of gout. Nobody did anything. Where are you? Who are you? Nobody did anything. Where are you? Somebody has been, I'm not even sure I know what gout is, but I just heard that gout. If you ask me what gout is, I couldn't really tell you. I've heard it, but I don't really know what it is. I've heard the word, but somebody's being healed of gout. Where are you? Nobody did anything. And it seems to lull the service. You know, the service lulls a little bit because people are wondering now, well, he's missed it. And you could miss it. Ministers can miss it. The next day, or the next night, the next evening, the pastor came to me and said, Brother Tony, you would be interested in hearing this. I heard, you know, in Jamaica, they would put the speakers in the windows, and the windows are open. There's no air conditioning. So the windows are open, and the bugs just come in, sort of like where you were just in India, and I'm sure Haiti. But they would put the speakers facing to the outside so the whole area could hear the preaching, could hear the church service. And they would turn those speakers wide open, loud, you know, and face them to the outside. Well, the Rastafarian music was going on throughout the hillside. I mean, you could hear what the devil was doing. Let's let them hear what God is doing. And so the preaching was going throughout all the area, and everybody could hear it. Well, there was a next-door neighbor, a house, just right beside the church, but not real close, but next to the church. And he had come out and was sitting on his porch listening to the preaching, and he got healed of gout. Sitting in, not even a Christian, sinner man, sitting there smoking his cigarette, listening to the preaching, and gets healed of gout. Well, he gets the word to the pastor, and so God does these things. Well, the people, maybe I'm wondering, did I miss it? Because she's not mentioning anything about any pain. I didn't have any pain, you know, no medication, didn't need it. So she finishes, hands me back the microphone, about to walk off. And I said, wait a minute, stay right here. Now, I'm going to say this in front of everybody. And you, in front of everybody, you tell me if I'm wrong. But Monday night, the next night, around midnight, and then I had an inward witness, she went to bed around midnight. That was when she went to bed. So I said, around midnight, and you went to bed around midnight. And right before, or just as you're going to bed, your heart started to hurt. And she said, like she had just thought of it, like she was just reminded. She said, it did. And I'm thinking, why didn't you mention that? And I said, and you said to yourself, I thought the Lord healed me, but I guess he didn't. And she said, that's what I said. And I said, and through the night, you'd get some sleep. It would subside some, give you enough peace to where you could slip off to sleep. But then you'd wake up with the shooting pain, and you'd even get up and walk the floor a little bit. I'm having this now by revelation. I didn't know any of that myself while I was doing the praying that Monday night. But some revelation is coming while I'm telling the story. You'd get up and walk the floor, try to get a little relief, and then you'd go back to bed, and it would subside, and you'd go to sleep, and then you'd wake up again with the shooting pain. All through the night, but around 6 o'clock, it left, and then she cut me off. In fact, I think she sort of grabbed the microphone, and because I said, and around 6 o'clock, it left, and she said, and it never came back. I helped her keep her healing. God doesn't use us all that way, but I think one of the reasons that He did was not only for her, not only for the teaching of that church that Sunday morning when I gave the testimony and told the story, she was there and gave her testimony, but also so we could hear it, I could teach it, I could share it, and then others hear it. This is how it works. And then I've heard Brother Hagin tell stories about in his own life. He was raised up from a deathbed, and he went to school. But even when he's going to school, he would feel the symptoms come back. I mean, months later. And he had all kinds of conditions where he was instantly healed after 16 months of being bedfast. And then when he got up, his grandfather says, has Lazarus been raised from the dead? Has Lazarus come forth? Because he'd been 16 months in that bed, and he got healed, and he didn't want to tell anybody until the next day. He was going to get up and go to breakfast. It's just the way he wanted to do it. Has Lazarus come forth from the grave? Yes, Grandpa. The Lord's healed me. But he goes to school, and conditions would try to come back. I've heard stories. He's told stories. Others have told stories where somebody who's deaf. In fact, I'll tell this story of Brother Hagin. This is one of Kenneth E. Hagin, Senior Hagin, not Pastor Hagin, Brother Hagin, who's gone on to be with the Lord. He would tell this story. He was in a service, and while he is sitting on the platform with the pastor, while the music is being done and before the service is turned over to him, he notices, because he can tell how she's looking, how she's acting, that there's a lady there that's totally deaf in both ears. Well, during the ministry, during the service, he prays for her, and her ears open instantly. Both ears open instantly. Well, he's there for several nights, maybe even a couple of weeks. And the next night, she's back in the service, and he can tell by how she's acting that she's totally deaf in both ears. Well, he prays for her the second night. God opens those ears instantly. Well, maybe in the process he deals with her, it might be over a few moments, like the blind man that came to Jesus. Jesus ministered to him, said, can you see anything? I see men as trees walking, and he laid hands on him again. Sometimes you do deal with people for a moment or two. It may not be just instant, but it's during that service, it's during that moment. And so he gets both ears open to where she can hear a watch tick. We don't have watches that tick much anymore today, but he did. You could buy a good dollar watch for 75 cents. I've heard him tell the story. And he'd put that dollar watch up to her ear, and she could hear the watch tick out of both ears. The third night, he's there sitting on the platform with the pastor, and he can see that she's there before the service is turned over to him, and he can tell how she's acting that she's deaf. So he leans over to the pastor and says, you see that lady there? Yeah. I've prayed for her two nights now, and her ears have opened. God's totally opened her, you know, her ears two nights in a row. But watch her. Just watch her. You can tell how she's acting. She can't hear a thing. She's totally deaf again. And I've prayed for her two nights, and her ears have opened both nights. Do you know her? And the pastor said to him, Brother Hagin, I wasn't going to tell you because maybe the Lord would show you. But yes, I know her. She's a member of the church here. She comes to church here. But you see the man sitting beside her? That's not her husband. And they live together. Let me pause just a moment so you can think on that. Sometimes it's the consequences of our own actions. Amen. I wasn't going to tell you because maybe the Lord would show you, but The man that she's sitting beside is not her husband. She lives with him. They live together. And so he had to talk to her. Well, he had to get her ears open again before he could talk to her. You want to keep your healing, you've got to live right. Amen. You want to keep your healing, you've got to live right. Now, nobody lives perfectly. But your heart is, you repent, you turn, and when you see that you do wrong, you repent quick. It's good to repent quick, believe quick, and forgive quick.
Hallelujah.
Repent quick, believe quick, and forgive quick. You show me somebody that's slow to believe, slow to forgive, and slow to repent, and I'll show you somebody that's slow to receive their healing or to receive things from God in prayer by faith. God responds to people who are quick to repent, not slow to repent, quick to forgive. Some people are slow to forgive. They know they have to eventually, but they hold out. And then some people are slow to believe. You know, they're just skeptical of everything. Eventually they come around. But somebody who's quick to believe, now that doesn't mean you're not cautious, because you don't need to follow, you don't need to swallow everything that comes down the pike. There is some junk out there, and you ought to try the spirits, whether they're of God or not. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. But be quick to believe, quick to forgive, and quick to repent. And God will respond to that. Confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So just be, nobody's going to be perfect. You're not going to just live your life perfectly, but there are consequences to your actions. Amen. So one reason some people might lose their healing is because they don't really have a heart to serve God on their own. They want the preacher to do it for them. Well, this lady that I prayed for, she was new. She was a Methodist lady that had been invited to this Pentecostal church. And I don't know what happened to her years later. I certainly would have advised her to, I don't know anything about your Methodist church, but I've been to some Methodist churches. And if it's like where I've been, you need to get out of that if you're going to keep your healing. Because they need to feed you the right thing. They need to feed you the right scriptural diet, the right spiritual diet, the right faith diet for you to keep what God's doing and what God has done. And so maybe by now she's lost her healing. I don't know, because I didn't keep in contact. But she was a Methodist lady invited to the Pentecostal church. And sometimes God, it's like multitudes are in the valley of decision. And God wants you to make a decision. Like when Jesus ministered to the man, I already mentioned it at the pool of, say it, Jack, the pool of Bethesda. He said, take up your bed and walk. And he took up his bed and walked. Immediately he was made whole, and he took up his bed and walked. Immediately he was made whole, he took up his bed and walked. The same day was the Sabbath. Right? And so they're now mad at Jesus because he healed somebody on the Sabbath day. Jesus left, and the man didn't know it was Jesus, but they're mad because Jesus healed somebody on the Sabbath day. Well, the man had been taught all his life the wrong teaching, the wrong interpretation, the wrong understanding that you don't carry your bed on the Sabbath. So when Jesus said, take up your bed and walk, he had a decision to make. Do I do what this man of God has told me to do? Or do I follow my tradition and do what I've always been taught? Because he knew he was healed. He was healed first. Immediately, his ankle bones received... No, that's the man at the gate. Beautiful. But he was made whole. And then he took up his bed and walked. So he was made whole first, wasn't he? While he's still laying there on his bed, he's made whole. So now he's got a decision to make. Well, he made me whole. He must know something about God. I'm whole. He said... He ministered to me, and I'm made whole. And the same man that made me whole told me to take up my bed and walk. Now, do I do that? If he hadn't done that, it's quite likely, I believe, he would have lost his healing. So why do people lose their healing? Well, it's different reasons for different people, but sometimes it's because of the decisions people make. You've got something for God. Now, God is asking you to make a decision. I'm thinking about Brother Hagin right now. He was at a service one time, and the pastor would have him speak, but he didn't really agree with him. The pastor didn't agree with him. Brother Hagin even asked him one time, I know something about your doctrine, what you believe, what you preach. You don't really agree with some of the things that I'm preaching. Why do you have me come? Well, the people need to hear it. Well, you know, give him that much credit. He is the pastor over the people. He's not feeding them right, but at least he knows they need to get the right diet. So give him that much credit. But then Brother Hagin said to him, do you know you're going to die? had that by revelation. Do you know you're going to die? That pastor said, yeah. Well, why don't you change? I've believed it this way, and I've preached it this way for all these years. I'm not going to change now. The next week, he dropped dead. Sometimes people lose their healing because of the decisions they make. Another reason that people would lose their healing is because they didn't get it on their own faith anyway. They got it through a special anointing or through somebody else's faith, somebody else's prayer. Now, that's fine. God will still bless that person. Again, if he sees them make a decision to turn to God, to feed on God, to serve God, to have a desire for God. They didn't get it on their own faith, but they can grow in faith if they'll make the right decision. I'm thinking about Brother Hagin again. Well, I have listened to him quite a bit. He was praying for his sister who had cancer, dying with cancer. He loves his sister at this time, you see. So I'll say it in the present tense. He loves his sister. He cares for his sister. And so he begins to pray for his sister. And then he fasted for 3 days. Some people won't pray 3 minutes for somebody else. But he's fasting for 3 days for someone else. He fasted 3 days for his sister. The third day, the Lord gave him the answer. I'm going to heal her because you've asked me to. And so she's healed of cancer, totally healed of cancer, no trace. 5 years later, a different kind, not the same kind, not in remission, now it's come back. It's a different kind in a different area of the body came on her. Cancer. Doctors give her a bleak outlook. She's going to die. Different kind of cancer in a different part of the body. 5 years later, Brother Hagin's going before the Lord again, praying to the Lord to heal his sister. Then he goes on a fast. He decides, I'm going to fast and pray. So he's going to fast 3 days. I don't remember now all of the details. I think he actually got to the third day of his fast and the Lord spoke and said, don't pray. She's not going to be healed this time. Why? Why, Lord? Well, the Lord won't answer that question always. Some things are a secret, not your business. But the Lord did tell him this much. I healed her 5 years ago on your faith because you asked me to, and the intercession. I healed her 5 years ago because you asked me to. But for these 5 years, she's not grown in faith one bit on her own. I've waited for her to grow. I've watched her. In fact, the Lord said to him, while he's fasting and praying this third day, I believe it was the third day of this fast, the Lord spoke to him, in fact, you're her brother. Your radio station comes on every day in her city. She's never once listened to it. And you're her brother. Well, he later checked that out. He was curious. So he talked to people that stayed with her. As far as you know, has she ever listened to my radio broadcast? No, not as far as I know. Well, she died. Shouldn't have, didn't need to. But there is scripture in the Bible that says if you don't judge yourself, you'll be judged. Is that Bible? Is that in there? If you don't judge yourself, you'll be judged. And God waited 5 years to watch her, to judge her, to see her make a decision to grow in her own faith, to feed her own faith, to serve God. Now, she was a Christian. She'd been born again, but she didn't grow. She stayed a baby. She shouldn't have stayed a baby. She should have grown. But she stayed a baby. The Lord said to him, she's my child. She'll come to heaven. She'd been born again, so she went to heaven. But she didn't grow, and she couldn't receive healing on her own. She couldn't even receive healing with Brother Hagin praying for her, fasting and praying for 3 days a second time, even though he got her healed the first time that way. So God sometimes is looking at the hearts of people. Sometimes people are healed on somebody else's faith or a special anointing, a special move of God, congregational faith. This service has a spiritual atmosphere, and people, like the waters are troubled, people get in it and they receive their healing. I've prayed for people and they'll be healed instantly at the front, and then at the end of the service, I'm at the back shaking people's hands, and when I touch their hand, they've lost their healing. One man I asked, I'm remembering right now, one man I asked, I said, that's come back on you, hasn't it? And in his spiritual pride, he was embarrassed and ashamed, like it was an indictment against his faith. And he didn't want me to pray for him. He said, hey, that's all right, I'll take care of it. And I sent spiritual pride and let him go. That's all right, I'll take care of it. So why do we not keep her healing? Sometimes it's because we don't make the right decisions. We don't have a heart to serve God. We're not willing to lay aside every sin and every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us and run the race that is set before us with patience. We're not willing. Now see, that I'm not talking to you because you're here on a Sunday night. The people that are not here on a Sunday night are the ones this fits. Oh, there may be some adjustments in your life. Well, if there are, make them. But don't let the devil condemn you or cheat you or talk you out of anything. A lot of times, it's simply the pain comes back and people aren't expecting that. And the devil says, you see, you thought you were healed, but you're not. Because after all, once the Lord does something, it's done. That's what the devil will say. No, it is done. It is done. It is done. That's a lie. Lying signs and wonders. It is done. I think about the scripture, he's able to save to the uttermost. That word save is the same word as heal. If he's able to save to the uttermost, he's able to heal to the uttermost. And so when that comes back on me and the devil says, well, he doesn't say it to me anymore because he's learned that that doesn't work, he'll attack you where you're weak. He still attacks me, but you can make a believer out of the devil. You know what I mean by that? You can convince him, that doesn't work. And finally, he'll leave you alone in that area, at least for a while. He might on occasion come back and test you. But he doesn't attack you where you're strong. He's looking for your weak point, your weak place. That's where he'll attack you and dog your tracks. He doesn't play fair. He's not a nice guy. He's not a guy. He's not even nice. And I don't like him. But he'll attack you where you're weak. He didn't try that much on me, though. Well, you see, you thought the Lord healed you. Because I know that's just a lie. Well, you see, that's come back on you. And you thought the Lord... I didn't think the Lord healed me. I knew the Lord healed me, and it's done. Like Sister Nova said, it is done. But see, some people think because they feel something that it's not done. Well, I guess I didn't get my healing because after all, if God healed me, I wouldn't have this attack come on me again. Well, see, that's a lie. He comes to steal. He comes to kill, and he comes to destroy, and he will come back to rob you of even the blessing that God's given you. And so he sometimes thinks that's his house, and when he's cast out, he returns, and he says, this is my house. I've come. I've brought seven of my friends trying to get back in. And so that's where you have to say, and this is where a service like this is good, and Pastor realizes that, to teach you, to admonish you, to exhort you, to encourage you again. That's where you have to say, no, you don't. You're not coming back on me. The Lord healed me, and you're not coming back. Or the Lord delivered me, and you're not coming back. The Lord saved me, and I'm His child, and I'm walking with Him, and I don't go there anymore. I don't do that anymore. I don't watch that. I don't read that. I don't listen to that. I don't do that. I don't drink that. I don't eat that. I don't smoke that. I don't chew that. The Lord saved me. The Lord delivered me, and I'm not letting you come back. Amen. Heard about one guy. He kept one beer in his refrigerator just to prove he was strong and he could resist it. How stupid are you? And then I heard he got a little bit weak and fell off the wagon. I guess that beer in the refrigerator was the first place you went. The Bible says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I mean, I sometimes want to cram it down people's throat. Do you know what the Bible says? This is the Bible! That's stupid! Brother Tony, I'm keeping one beer in my refrigerator just to show that I can resist. You stupid idiot. Get that. I didn't say that. I'm thinking that. You don't say everything you're thinking. Not always. Sometimes I do. I get it too, brother. After the service, can't believe you said that. But one reason that people lose it is because when it comes back, and very often it does, they don't know to say, no, you don't. No, you don't. The Lord healed me or the Lord delivered me. I resist you. I resist you in Jesus' name. I resist you. Amen. If you need to repent, if you need to change, if you need to adjust, do all that. But sometimes it just tries to come back. And you say, no, Fight the good fight of faith. Why is that in there? Fight. Why is that in there? There is a fight. The devil will try to rob you. He'll try to cheat you. He'll try to talk to you. He'll try to reason with you. Well, you know God. And then he'll talk to you about you. He's not pleased with your life. Or he's bringing this back on you to teach you something. Or, you know, it must not have been God at all because it wouldn't be coming back. You wouldn't be having to deal with this often, this way, if it was really God. He's all the time trying to take away your believing that God is doing something for you. The devil, it just plays that game. And that's where you have to stand and fight the good fight of faith. You fight the good fight of faith. You fight the good fight of faith. You go by what the Word says, not by what you see, what you hear, what you feel, but His Word said it. And then you resist the devil. You submit yourselves therefore to God, and that's you. Submit yourselves therefore to God, and you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That word flee has an element and a degree of fear mixed with it. The devil is afraid of Jesus in you. He's afraid of it, of that presence. Jesus isn't in it, he's a he. But that presence in you, that power in you, the devil is scared of it. He's afraid of it. He's scared. I don't know how to spell that, but... There's a few E's in there, I think. S-C-E-E-E-E-R-D-E-D. Scared of it. He's scared. He's not afraid of a dead Jesus. Keeping Jesus on the cross, dead and crucified. The devil's not afraid of a dead Jesus. But you bring him off of the cross and into the resurrection power living inside of you as the child of God, then the devil is afraid of that power, the power of Jesus in you. And then the work of faith with power that comes by His Word, the devil trembles. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. He doesn't just turn around and saunter away. He flee. But he may try to come back after the dust is cleared. Let's see if I can trick them again. Let's see if I can deceive them. Let's see if I can lie to them and they believe it this time. And so the symptoms, lying signs and wonders, these symptoms will try to come back on people. Amen. I heard about a man who was saying that, and he was on up in years, and he said, I asked the Lord to keep me. And he had believed God. Now, sometimes you don't even think of these things. I know I didn't, until I heard this story, I hadn't thought of some of these things. He asked the Lord for him to keep his teeth. And all these years, I've never had a cavity, he said. That's him talking, not me. I didn't even think to ask the Lord about that. I asked the Lord to keep my hair. And so other people in his family would lose their hair, and he wasn't bald. He didn't have thin spots. Well, I didn't even think of that. I hadn't thought of that until I heard that story. Well, hey, that's, you know, you can ask for that. I asked the Lord that I keep my hair color. Well, I know I didn't ask for that. I didn't think of that. And he was on up in years, and he didn't have a white hair or a gray hair in his head. And he said, and you can ask my wife, I'm every man, every bit of man that I used to be. You know what he meant by that, don't you? Don't explain it. If you turn red, I know you got it. If I turn red, then you got it. Now, he said, I asked the Lord to keep me, and I'm every bit of man I ever have been. You can ask my wife. And so he's about to leave. He's talking to the visiting evangelist at the door after the service. And then he came back, and he said, but you know what else? I asked the Lord to help me keep this. And he pointed to his tongue. And you think of the scripture. A man who will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue to speak evil, to speak no evil, to speak no guile. let him refrain his tongue from speaking evil and from speaking guile. You know, I asked the Lord to keep my teeth, and I asked the Lord to keep my hair, and I asked the Lord to keep my hair color, and asked the Lord, to keep me in health, but I asked the Lord to help me keep this. And I thought of that, you know, just brings conviction to me because I've not done so good a job at that either. But adjustments. Yes, we can keep our healing. Sometimes it's an adjustment of our lifestyle, of our decisions, of our commitments, of our faith, of our tongue. Line up with His Word. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God.